Thank you, Mr. Gibson. I was almost afraid to get up out of my chair. I thought I was going to get run over there for a minute. But I didn't, so that's good. Well, somebody commented earlier that they thought our group was a little sparse today, and it may be. There's, of course, the ladies' retreat over in downtown Spokane, and all that. But no matter what, if we look around this group or other groups that we may be visiting as far as traveling and so forth, each of us have divergent tastes or we have divergent interests. How many of you like a mystery? You know, do you like Sherlock Holmes or something like that? Of course. How many of you like puzzles? Puzzles, or to be creative and maybe do a project and get that satisfaction once it's finished. One thing we can all agree on, I believe, is that Solomon was a very wise man. King Solomon. Indeed, he was wise, he was insightful, and he was analytical. Let's turn over to Proverbs 13, if you would, please. Proverbs 13, and we're going to read verse 14. Now, I'm going to be using the New Revised Standard Version, so it may be a little bit different than your Bible, but it should be close enough. Proverbs 13, 14. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, so that one may avoid the snares of death. That sounds like a good thing. Avoid the snares of death. Who wants to die before their time? Well, let's take a look a little farther back in Ecclesiastes. This same Solomon writes something else. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 11 to 12. This is later in his life where he is talking about life itself, and he writes, "Again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to the skillful, but time and chance happens to them all. For no one can anticipate the time of disaster, like fish taken in a cruel net, and like birds caught in a snare, so mortals are snared at a time of calamity when it suddenly falls upon them." That is the mystery. Even Solomon could not figure out this mystery as to when a calamity would fall upon any one of us, including himself. He couldn't figure it out. When will you or I or anyone that we may know be snared in an evil time, as he comments? He couldn't answer that. He couldn't solve that mystery. But he gave us some clues and some examples to learn from. That was the nice thing, is that he was a very wise and insightful man. We know the proverbs about the ant. Now, ants, little bitty guys, which he brings out, are subject to nature. Their nests can be washed out. Predators can dig around and get them, whatever. But in Proverbs 30, in verses 24 through 25, and in Proverbs 6, he mentions the ant. He uses the ant to remind us that we should not be sluggards. We should not just sit around folding our hands going, "Oh, life is good. I don't have any worries." Because, again, we don't know when something might happen. So he uses the ant, this little bitty bug, to teach us lessons. He also mentions in Proverbs 30 about the coney, a bird that builds its nest in rocks. Why does it build its nest in rocks? Is it because of security? You might say, well, it's just going by instinct. Maybe so. But anyway, the coney he compliments as being a wise animal. But us humans, we're different indeed. Let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 8. Proverbs 11, 8. The younger Solomon writes, "The righteous are delivered from trouble, and the wicked get into it instead." Or in others, they have not gained wisdom. They just go barreling on. And too often, we see mankind doing that. How often have you seen out in the world people that seem never to learn a lesson? I worked around several of them that just constantly never learned. You wonder, how many times does it take running into a brick wall to learn not to run into a brick wall? But still they do. 26 years ago, this week, Mount St. Helens blew up. Even though there were warnings around the mountain, people died. A few years back, we had, of course, the tragedy of 9/11. In this particular area here, in the Puget Sound region, we have the danger of volcanoes. We have Mount Rainier, we have Mount Baker, and all that. Up at north in Snohomish County and Skagit County, and even down in the Kent Valley, there are possibilities of floods. They were talking about the levees being weak around Renton. Throughout this area, we have a problem with landslides and mudslides. Perhaps you've experienced those. I don't know. I live right on a 50-foot embankment going down into Saltwater State Park. Part of my back porch could go. In the east, there are fires, forest fires and all. And overall, if you haven't looked at a map, we're sitting on many earthquake faults, many. That's one thing we share with the Holy Land, is we're sitting on earthquake faults. So the mystery is, when will the next big event happen? Solomon couldn't answer that. The scientists can't answer that. It's an unknown, a mystery. Major events punctuate mankind's history. Let's turn into Amos real quickly. Amos, I hadn't planned on turning there, but let's do that. Amos 1. Amos 1, I know it's here somewhere. Amos 1, verse 1, it says, my fingers will work, the words of Amos, who was among the shepherds of Tekoa, when he saw concerning Israel in the days of King Uzziah of Judah, and in the days of King Jeroboam, son of Joash of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Major events like an earthquake punctuate human history. We know that in Matthew 27, it's recorded that when Christ died upon the cross, there was a great earthquake. We know in Matthew 28, verse 1, when the women were coming to the tomb, an angel appeared upon the stone that was rolled back. And at that time was, quote, a great earthquake. We know that in Acts 16, when the apostles were in prison, shackled and all, there was an earthquake that shook the prison so violently that the guards were ready to kill themselves. The prisoners were freed. Now, some of that is, of course, divine intervention. But the point is, you can't plan on when an earthquake will happen. Recently, the San Francisco earthquake has been in the news and on television. We know just last year, as hurricane season approaches, about Hurricane Katrina is being brought to our attention because the Gulf Coast may not be ready at this time. Since September 5, we have been working together to prepare for the next big event here locally. The mystery is when. You don't know, I don't know, Solomon doesn't know, only God would know. Do you remember this folder? Each of you should have received one months ago. If you have not received one of these because you weren't attending back in the fall, raise your hand because we do have a few extras. Okay, we have three people that need folders, four people that need folders, five people, one back there. One of them I've got right here for you, so I'll give this one to you since you're sitting up front here. Anyway, what this is, for those that do not know, it's the United Church of God Seattle Emergency Planning Guide. We pass these out after Mr. Luker convened a congregational meeting for those interested to be preparing for this next great event. Today, we're going to update this folder that you have received. Now, you have been getting, on a week-by-week basis, pieces of a puzzle. These little guys here, I hope you've been keeping them rather than making airplanes out of them. But we've been trying to bring this to you, because inside your emergency planning guide was a disaster preparedness calendar. And we've more or less followed it with these. Not exactly, because we've added some material to be more helpful and all. But between that and this, you should be a lot more prepared. Now, we've had some people have said, what do I do with all this stuff? Where am I going to put it? My house is crowded enough. Believe me, I know. I've got water bottles stacked up in my dining room. I've got water bottles stacked up in my living room, you know. You have to use a little bit of wisdom. I mean, maybe you can't store 30 days worth of water in your home. But maybe you can store 2 weeks. 2 weeks, 14 gallons per person. Maybe you can only store 7 days. That's okay. You store what you can. You do what you can. This is not gospel. This is gospel. Okay? This is just to help you along and kind of entertain you. At least I hope so. Just like everyone else, like you out there, my wife and I have been working through these as well. We have to do things one thing at a time. What we have done this week, finally, is we have put into place an out-of-state contact, an emergency contact, so that if we cannot call out from the Puget Sound area that's crumbled into an earthquake, then we can maybe have our relatives call these other folks, and then when we can call out long distance, we can leave a message with some other folks. We have now for you from the ushers is a family communications plan, and with it some cards that you can cut out so that you can plan on how people can contact you and you can contact other people. We have just finally done that over after so many weeks. What we did is we wrote a letter to my wife's two sisters, and we told them, we are writing this brief note as a precaution and an advisory. We have been involved for several weeks in emergency preparedness simply because the Pacific Northwest, where you and I live, is subject to major earthquakes, volcanic activity, tsunamis, and other natural disasters. And additionally, with the change of world events evidenced by the 9/11 tragedy in New York City, as a major harbor area and manufacturing distribution region, we also run the risk of terrorist attacks. We do. One of the things that was learned during the Katrina disaster was the inability for communications. That's why this has been developed, so that you will have an out-of-state contact for people. See, people could call outside of Louisiana, but they just couldn't call oftentimes within Louisiana. So we can call our friends, perhaps, in Kansas a lot easier than I can call Mr. Luker in Bothell. Okay? So that's what this is for. I tell them, this hasn't been written to scare you or cause you undue alarm. It is far wiser to be prepared than to find oneself in the middle of a disaster with no supplies, no plans, no communications, just as those poor folks in the Katrina hurricane disaster found themselves. We prefer to be survivors, not hapless, wretched victims. Just like the little guy here on the front of your insert, he's ready to be a survivor. He's got his survival kit and he's ready to go. Ours is out in the car. I was going to bring it in, but I thought, you don't need to see a pack. It's better to be a survivor. Now, we were going to have one other handout, which we'll have to do later. But we have not. How many of you are parents that have children at home? Children at home, young children that still like to color. Okay, we even have something for you guys. Well, actually, it's for your children. Well, it's for both of you. Both parents and children. It's a teaching tool. It's called a Disaster Preparedness Coloring Book. Inside of it are pictures to color and lessons to be learned, so you can communicate with your children what you have been doing for the last 17 weeks and what you need to continue to be doing for at least 7 more. So, we're going to give these out to the parents with small children that like to color and all that. So if you want to raise your hands, the ushers have got these and we'll be happy to pass them out. Now, we'll have a limited supply, but if we don't get to you, please let us know after services and we can print up some more. One nice thing, paper is not that expensive, nor is ink. So today we have added a number of major pieces to this particular puzzle. We told you when we first passed this out we were going to be adding to it. It's got 2 pockets in it. Now you got more stuff to put in it. See, if we'd have done this right away, we'd have overwhelmed you. Now you're just half overwhelmed. Of course, that's better than being underwhelmed, I guess. We've given you a communications plan developed by the Homeland Security Department. We've remembered your children because they're doing these type of things at school. They should be doing these type of things at home too. They can be part of your planning. They can help you. You can ask them questions and teach them. So let's look at just one more scripture in closing. Actually, it's 2 scriptures in one because it's given twice in the Bible. But we're going to read Proverbs 22:3. Proverbs 22:3. That's on page 827. Or you might want to turn to Proverbs 27:12. It's the same thing. So you have two witnesses as such. Solomon writes in Proverbs 22, verse 3, "The clever see danger and hide, but the simple go on and suffer for it." In the New King James and all that, it says they're punished. Well, you might call suffering punishment, but that's why I chose the New Revised Standard. It says they go on, the simple go on and suffer for it, because they are not clever, they're not wise. So let's not be simple. Let's be clever. Let's be wise. Let's continue to prepare. And because we don't know when that event is going to happen, it is still a mystery to us. It is still a mystery to anybody else, including the earthquake scientists and all that. But if you're not prepared, what's going to happen to you? What is going to happen to you? Solomon tells you. So let's continue to go forward.